Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Yivamis Daf Lamed Dalet. We left off, we're holding at the very top of Lamed Dalet Amr Aleph. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by Yossi Shik in memory of Rav Shmuel ben Rav Yosef, whose yard site is today. Nesham Shem and Aliyah, we thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to continue our discussion of our Mishnah yesterday, where we spoke about where you have a case of two people that are Makadesh Shtei Nashim, and then they made a mistake, and they were Hichlifu Zeh Ezeh. When it came time to do the Nisuin, when it came time for them to go home together, they each took home the wrong wife. So the Mishnah went through a case where one could be in violation of four Isurim all at the same time, if the two women happened to be sisters, and the two men happened to be brothers, and the women had to be Nidos. So it's a violation of Eishas Ish, it's a violation of Eishas Achiv, it's a violation of Achos Ishto, and it's a violation of Nida for each of these four people that are involved in this whole confusion, in this whole balagan that happens with these four people. So the Gemara is going to discuss today, well, wait a second, there are certain assumptions that we're making. If you think that you could violate all four of those Yisurim at the same time, you're assuming that Isur Chalal Isur, Bi Isur Kolel, Bi Isur Mosiv, Bi Isur Basachas. So Amar Aleph, we're going to talk about how could that be? Who's the Shita that holds that you have all of those things? That Isur Chalal Isur, Bi Isur Mosiv, Bi Isur Kolel, Bi Isur Basachas. And that's going to lead us into a discussion of whether it's in fact possible for a woman to become pregnant from the Bia Rishona, from the very first time that she has Bia. And the Gemara is going to discuss, well, do we ever have any rayas in history, in Tanakh, from women potentially becoming pregnant from Bia Rishona? What about Tamar? What about Erva Onan? So was there the possibility of becoming pregnant from Bia Rishona? And that's going to be the majority of Amud Beis. The Gemara is going to talk about Bia Shalo Kedarka, and whether a woman becomes Tame from the Bia Rishona, and what type of Bia makes a woman into someone who has to go to the mikvah to become a Tameya. So then the Gemara is going to tell us a little bit that if an interesting yesod, that if a woman becomes an almana and then she goes 10 years remaining unmarried, that when she gets remarried after that, she's not going to be able to have any children, with the only exception being if she was daitali nasai in between. And the Gemara is going to have a couple of episodes where it seems to be, at least at first it seemed to be, that yesod was not true, that people were able to become pregnant after going 10 years as an almana without daitali. So let's begin again. We're holding at the very top of Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. So just to chazer over, in our Mishnah we said that our Mishnah seems to assume that an Isser is Chalal Isser Bi Isser Kolel, Bi Isser Mosif, Bi Isser Bas Achas, because the case of our Mishnah of the two brothers that were married to two sisters and each one took home the wrong wife and they were both Nidos assumes all of those things, because it assumes that you violate four Isurim: Isser Eishas Ish, Eishas Ach, Achos Isha, and Nida, and those four Chataos can only be Chal if you assume Isser Chalal Isser in all of these ways. How so? So let's just go through the Cheshbon. Reuven marries Rachel, and right away Rachel becomes Aser to Shimon with two Isurim. Just right from the fact that Reuven marries Rachel, immediately Reuven's brother is Aser to Rachel with two different Isurim. She's an Eishas Ish, like any other married woman in the world, and she's also Eishas Achiv. So right off the bat, you have two Isurim, and those are clearly Chal Bebasachas. As soon as Reuven marries Rachel, that's Isur Basachas. Those two Isurim are Chal at the same time. Stage two, afterwards, Shimon marries Leah, Rachel's sister. So now a third Isur happens, because now Reuven's wife, Mrs. Reuven, becomes Aser to Shimon in a third way, because she is now also Achos Ishto. And that is an Isur Kolel, because all of these sisters of Leah become Aser to Shimon at the moment that Shimon marries Leah. Not only Rachel, Mrs. Reuven, but any other sisters that Leah might have are also becoming Aser. So that's what we call an Isur Kolel. So you see that Isur Kolel is happening. And then stage three, afterwards, Mrs. Reuven becomes Anida. Rachel, Reuven's wife, Mrs. Reuven, becomes Anida. So now she becomes Aser to Shimon Midin Nida as well. And that's an Isur Mosif, because when she becomes Aser to Shimon as Anida, she's also becoming asur to the entire world as an Ida, including her own husband, who up until now she's been muteres to, including to Reuven, her own husband. So that is an Isser Mosif. So in order to have the case in our Mishnah where you're in violation of 40 surim, 4 different chatos of Eshes Ish, of Achos Ishto, of Eshes Achiv, and of Nida, you need to assume Isser Basachas, Isser Kolel, and Isser Mosif. That Isser Chalal Isser. So we had a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon a couple of days ago about the Isser Chalal Isser, and we don't find that anybody holds that Isser Chalal Isser in all three of those circumstances of Basachas, Mosif, and Kolel. And that leads our Gemara to ask the question, Manai Tana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah to Islay Isser Kolel, the Isser Mosif, the Isser Basachas, that holds that Isser Chalal Isser in all three of those circumstances? Some Rabbi Domrav, Rabbi Meir, there is somebody that holds that way. That is the Shita of Rabbi Meir. The Rishonim are bothered that L'chora, we could have said it was Rabbi Yossi. We learned in yesterday's daf that Rabbi Yossi holds Isser Chalal Isser B'Isser Kolel. And if you hold Isser Chalal Isser B'Isser Kolel, then for sure you hold the Isser Chalal Isser B'Isser Mosif. Kolel is a harder to say Isser Chalal Isser. So for sure you would hold B'Isser Mosif. And for sure by Isser Basachas. So once you have someone who holds that Isser Kolel, you can say Isser Chalal Isser. Mimele you'll have by Isser Mosif and Isser Basachas. So the Rishonim struggled with that. Why we couldn't just stick with Rabbi Yossi. But we're going to say no. It's Rabbi Meir who holds that all of these things are true. Ditznan, because Rabbi Meir said this in a different context. Rabbi Meir said the following. We have the following Mishnah, Maseches Krisus. Yesh ochal achila achas. A person can eat one achila, meaning a person can have one kezayis of food. V'chayev aleha arba chatos v'asham echad. And for that one piece of food, it could be chayev four chatos and one korban asham. Tamei sha'achal chelev. How could this happen if a person is tamei and he's eating chelev, but for who nosar, that chelev is nosar, it's leftover parts of a korban after the zman achila, mina muktashim, it's part of a korban, b'yom ha-kippurim, and he does this on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara in Krisos elaborates, how does this mean that you are chayev four chatos and one asham? So the Gemara over there says, well, right away, when it's chulin, as soon as the behema is born, it's all the chelev of that behema is aser. So the isra chelev is chal right off the bat, and that's an isra achila. It's mutabana. Afterwards, when the person becomes tameh, so the second isra kicks in, and that's an isra achilas kachim betumas aguf. That you're not allowed to eat kachim betumas aguf while you're tameh. That's isra kolel. That since it's that isra is chal on the other chatichos of the basar kachim, that there's an isra achila on all the chatichos of basar kachim, so this chaticha, which is chelev, is also going to have such an iser. And then, when you're makdish the behema, there's an iser me'ila, which it works midin iser mosiv. Because originally the chelev was aser only ba'achila. When you're makdish the behema, the chelev becomes aser even ba'hana'a as well, where you chayev mishum me'ila, so that's an iser mosiv. And that, you're chayev a karban asham me'ilos for. And then, when that chelev becomes nosar, another iser kicks in. Then it becomes the iser nosar is chal midin mosif, because since that chelev becomes asr legavoah, meaning it's nosar, you're not even allowed to burn on the mizbeach anymore, it becomes nifsal mehakrava, so it becomes asr to for a hedyot to be ochel, also for a person to be ochel as well. And then when Yom Kippur is going to be chal, when the day of Yom Kippur comes, so another isra of achilu b'yom kippurim is chal midin isra kolel, because since the isra Yom Kippur is chal on all food in the world, this is included in all food in the world, and therefore the Isser of Yom Kippur kicks in as well. So utilizing Isser Mosif and Isser Kolel in all these ways, we see how you can be chayiv arba chatos va'ashem echad if you eat that one piece of if a tameh person eats that one piece of chelev that's nosar, that's hekdish on Yom HaKippurim. Rameir says, Imoysa Shabbos Votziu Beviv, and if in addition to that it's Shabbos, and as he's eating it, he's carrying it outside in his mouth, Chayiv, then he's Chayiv another Karban for being, for Chatas, for Shabbos. The Achronim raised the question that even though he's most of a Chatas Achas for Hotza'ah, but he shouldn't, if that's the case, he shouldn't have to bring a Karban Asham for the Me'ila, because the Chayav Emiso Shogin are Pater Mitashlumin, and since he's Pater from Tashlumin, he shouldn't have to pay the Tashlume Me'ila. And when you don't pay the tashlumi mi'ila, you also don't bring the carbon mi'ila. So that's a kasha kasha that the Rishonim, that the Achronim deal with over here, of how by Rabbi Meir adding Shabbos into the picture, he should be subtracting Mi'ila from the picture, but the Gemara doesn't address that point. The Gemara just says that Rabbi Meir adds in Shabbos if he's carrying it in his mouth while he's eating it. So even though it's not the Derech Hotza'ah to be carrying it out in your mouth, but by Dvar Meichel, it's considered the Derech Hotza'ah because you put food in your mouth. But you're not Chayiv Mishum Yom HaKiburim on this Hotza'ah, the way Rashi understands, because we're assuming that there's no Isra Hotza'ah on Yom HaKiburim. So Amr Lo, the Chum said, back to Rabbi Meir, we don't count Isra Shabbos on the list of the various chatos that this guy's going to have to bring, because Einu Min HaShem. You don't count it together with the other chiyuvim. All the other chiyuvim are chiyuv achila. Over here, by the Isra of Shabbos, it's an Isra Hotza'ah. It's not an Isra achila. Rabbi Meir holds that even though it's an Isra Hotza'ah, since you're accomplishing the Hotza'ah by swallowing the food, so that's going to be considered an Isra achila as well. So what's the over here? What are we trying to show? The whole point of bringing this is to show that Rabbi Meir holds Isra Chalal, Isra Bisra, Mosif Bisra, Kolol Bisra, Bas Achas. How do we prove it over here? So the way Rashi understands this sugya, it's somewhat debatable, Tosos disagrees, but the way Rashi understands this sugya is that Rabbi Meir holds, you see clearly Rabbi Meir holds that Isra Chalal Isra in all three of these ways, because Rabbi Meir's moda to what the Chacham said, that there are four chataos and one asham, and those four chataos and one asham, we already did the cheshbon before, only work if you're assuming Isser Mosif and Isser Kolel. And then when Rav Meir says you chayev also for Otsav B'Shabbos, you see that he holds Isser Bas Achas as well, because that Achila becomes Asr B'Isser Achila of Yom HaKippurim. So how could you be Chal Isser, how could the Isser Shabbos be Chal at the same time as well? It must be because Shabbos and Yom Kippur are Chal B'Bas Achas. So with Isser Mosif and Isser Kolel, you already see from the Shita of the Rabbanan. Then when Rav Meir adds Shabbos on top of it, so that's because Shabbos and Yom Kippurim are Chal B'Bas Achas. That's why you could have an Isra Shabbos that's Chal at that same time. So both of these Surim are Chal at the same time, and therefore you see Rav Meir explicitly holds Isra Chal, Isra B'Isra Kolod, B'Isra Mosif, and B'Isra Bas Achas. Tosos and the other Rishonim reject Rashi's explanation, because you can't say that the Shabbos inyan relates to Isra Chalal Isra. The two Isurim are totally different. On Shabbos, you chayv mishum hotza'ah. On Yom Kippur, you chayv mishum achila. So even if you didn't hold Isra Chalal Isra Bas Achas, both of those Isurim can be chal, because they're two totally separate Isurim in their character, in their very nature. They're not Isurei achila. One is an Isra achila, and the other is an Isra hotza'ah. So Tosus understands that Rav Meir is coming to teach us that you chayv al hotza'ah both mishum Shabbos and mishum Yom Kippur. That when Rav Meir says Yuchayv on Hotza'ah, it means Yuchayv Mishum Hotza'ah of Shabbos and Hotza'ah of Yom Kippur, and he's assuming that Hotza'ah is Asr on Yom Kippur. Aye, but how could you have both an Isra of Hotza'ah on Shabbos and Hotza'ah of Yom Kippur? Ein Isra Chalal Isra? Yeah, Basachas, Shabbos and Yom Kippur start at the same time. So since it's a Basachas, that's where we see that Rav Meir holds the Isra Basachas. So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Meir, Aliba Deman, Rav Meir, who says, who apparently is now the author of our Mishnah, and therefore holds that when you took the wrong sister home with you after, you know, at the Shas Knisas on the Chuppah when you got married, you chayiv four different chata'os, even though l'chora you were trying to do a mitzvah, you were trying to get married, you were trying to have a bias mitzvah, and there's a machlokas about ta bidvar mitzvah, if a person did an avera but by making a mistake while trying to do a mitzvah, whether one is chayiv or not. So if Rav Meir is going to say that you chayiv dalit chata'os over here, ali b'dama, which shita in the sugya of Ta B'Dvar Mitzvah is he assuming like? If he's assuming like Rabbi Yeshua, Ha'amar Ta B'Dvar Mitzvah, Rabbi Yeshua holds that if a person made a mistake and he doesn't have vera for which he should be chayiv v'chatos, but he did it in the context of trying to do a mitzvah, Potter, he does not have to bring a korban chatos. Ella, Alibud Rabbi Eliezer. Must be, therefore, that Rav Meir is assuming like Rabbi Eliezer, that Ta B'Dvar Mitzvah, that if a person made a mistake and is chayiv did an aver for which he's chayiv v'chatos, in the context of trying to do a mitzvah, that he's in fact going to be chayiv, and that's why you're chayiv all these chatos. What exactly is the case that the Gemara discusses in Mesach HaShabbos? You're trying to do a mitzvah and you accidentally do an avera? So the Gemara discusses Rav Meir says in Masech HaShabbos and Daf Kuflam and Zayin Amud Aleph that there's no machlokas Rav Lozer and Rav Yoshua if, let's say, a person has two babies that both require a milah. One requires a milah on Erev Shabbos and the other one requires a milah on Shabbos. And in the effort to do the mitzvah of milah, to give the babies a bris milah, he does a milah of the Erev Shabbos baby on Shabbos. So he's tabid of our mitzvah, he's trying to do a mitzvah, and he accepted it was Machal Shabbos. Everyone agrees in that case that you're potter, because in the end of the day, the baby had a milah. It was after the baby was already 8 days old. It was the Friday baby, so you mild the Friday baby on Shabbos. He actually did a mitzvah. He just also did an aveira at that time. So everyone holds in that case that you can be potter. The machlokas is, if there are two babies, one of them needs a bris on Sunday, and the other one needs a bris on Shabbos, and you mild the Sunday baby on Shabbos, that's where Rabbi Eliezer says, chayiv chatos, and Rabbi Yeshua says, you're potter. So a mayor must hold, you see that Rabbi Meir holds that according to Rabbi Yeshua, if you're tov b'dvar mitzvah, like by Mila, where you want to mal the baby who's rightful time to get the bris is Shabbos, and you made a mistake and you mild the Sunday baby on Shabbos, even though you didn't do a mitzvah at all, because there is no mitzvah on that baby on that day. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yeshua says you're potter from chatas. So that's what Rabbi Meir must not be assuming like, because Rabbi Meir says that when you talk about bidvar mitzvah, in our case, even though you didn't do a mitzvah because you were boal leishas achiv, we should have pottered him from chatas according to Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Meir must be assuming like the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that if you tov b'dvar mitzvah velo asa mitzvah, you're going to be chayiv a karban chatas. So yibay yisema, or alternatively, li olam alib Rabbi Yeshua. Maybe Rabbi Meir could even assume like Rabbi Yoshua that normally tov b'dvar mitzvah velo asa mitzvah, you're potter. Aye, why in our case where the guy took both brothers took the wrong sister home with them and they were in need and everything else, why are they chayiv for chatos? You know when Rabbi Yeshua said Tabit Var Mitzvah is Pater, that's when it comes to trying to juggle a Chiv Mila on two different babies where there's where time is of the essence. The Zman of the Mila for one of the babies is Shabbos, and you don't want to pass up that Zman, meaning you're supposed to do a Mila Bizmana. It's true that if you didn't do a Mila Bizmana, you can still do a Mila afterwards, but it's a different mitzvah, meaning now you have a Mila Shalom Bizmana. It's an entirely different madrega of a mitzvah. Not only that, the Devi does a tshuva that even a milah shalom bezmana, by delaying it any further than it needs to be delayed, it's downgrading the mitzvah to a certain degree. That the earliest man you're able to do the milah is a higher level mitzvah. But for sure, when it comes to a milah bezmana versus a milah shalom bezmana, the Devi is in the context where someone asked him that they were already not able to do the bris of their child on time, so they wanted to wait till Erev Pesach because they don't want to have to fast in Erev Pesach. So they figured they once they're not doing the meal on time anyway, they'll push the meal off to Erev Pesach, will be Sudas Mitzvah. So rather than learning, what's the shortest Masechta? I think Makos Yerushalmi is the shortest Masechta. Rav Asher Weiss says one of his Talmidim recorded a 90-minute shir of the entire Yerushalmi Makos so that you can finish all of Makos Yerushalmi. So instead of doing that, easier is just delay the bris until Erev Pesach. Now the Behuda goes nuts on the guy. He says, you can't do that. You're not allowed to delay a bris meal. And then he just, he's hit for his Alameda a little bit. He says, and who says a meal is a good enough reason not to fast on Erev Pesach anyway? I think we generally assume a meal is a good enough reason not to fast on Erev Pesach. But that's in that context. But if meal is manubol, you got to get it done today. Aval hai. But in the case of these people that are getting married, there's no particular zman that you need to get married. So kimen dein zman ubal, since there's no zman for the mitzvah of birishona, Rabbi Yeshua would not pater him from chatas. In that case, he would say you're chayav chatas. You should have taken your time, thought about what you were doing, and realized what you were doing, and therefore you can be chayav chatas even if you're tov b'dvar mitzvah. There was no zman ubal. So frankly, Mar, is that true that the whole machlokus about tov b'dvar mitzvah is only kishazman ubal? But if a person is not rushed by any time constraints, that there's no machlokus that a tov b'dvar mitzvah is going to be chayiv v'chatas v'arei truma. But what about the example of someone who eats truma b'shogeg? Dein zman ubahul, there's no time constraint, there's no specific time for achilas truma v'kapater. And Rabbi Yeshua says that if someone eats truma b'shogeg, he's pater from, if he was trying to do the mitzvah of achilas truma, he's pater from the chatas. Titnan hayochel b'truma v'nodush ben grusha ben chalutza. A person was eating truma and then he finds out while he's eating the truma that he's not really a kohen, that he's a chalal, that he's a ben grusha or a ben chalutza who has a din of a zar. He's not allowed to eat truma. Rabbi Lezer mechayev keren v'chomish. Rabbi Lezer says he has to pay keren v'chomish like any zar who eats truma. Rabbi Shua poter. Rabbi Shua says he's poter. Why? Because he was tab dvar mitzvah v'lo as a mitzvah. Aye, but there's no zmano bahul, so why is he poter? Elamai, you see that even when it's not zmano bahul, you're going to be poter. So says Gemara, no, it is zmano bahul. Ha itmar Allah, and here's our daf yomi coincidence for the day. Amar of Bibi Barabai hachu b'truma. Be'erev ha-Pesach haskinan, d'zman ha-bahul, he's eating chametz truma and it's erev Pesach, so time is really of the essence, because the sof zman achila. So what are the chances we're going to bring up erev Pesach on the week of erev Pesach in Meseches Yevamos, right? So it's erev Pesach, and he's trying to eat his chametz, he's trying to finish up, because if he doesn't eat it, he's going to have to burn it at the zman shreifas chametz, and so he has to do whatever he can in order to fulfill the mitzvah of shmiras ha-truma, to protect the truma, is to eat it properly. So that's what Rabbi Shua says that he's going to be potter, because in that case he was tabed dvar mitzvah while it was in fact zmano bahu. Tosa says that the Gemara could have just said, like we say in Psachim, that truma is called avoda, and Rabbi Shua potters because he holds that chal that's also avoda, the avoda's kshera. But okay, but for whatever reason the Gemara doesn't give that approach. V'i by yaseima, or maybe we could say that you don't need to say that our Mishnah holds isr chal isr by isr mosif and isr kolal and all of these things, but rather be isr basachas, that all the cases in our Mishnah where all four chatos that are chal in our Mishnah are all chal together because of Isra Basachas. Meaning we've been working from the top of this page, from the top of Lamed Aleph, we started with an assumption that the only way to make our Mishnah work, where each guy brings home the wrong sister and she's Anida and their brothers, right? The only way that you could be chayiv four chatos of Isra Sish and Isra Sachiv and Achos Ishto and Anida is if you assume Isra Basachas, Isra Kolol and Isra Mosif. And therefore we have to find, oh, Rabbi Meir is the one that holds that, and Rabbi Meir must be locking in to Shitas Rabbi Eliezer and not Shitas Rabbi Yeshua. Maybe the whole cheshbon is wrong. Maybe you can have all four chatos just with Isr Basachas alone, that they could all be chal Basachas, and you don't need Isr Mosef and Isr Kolel. V'ibay sim b'Isr Basachas, v'alibet Rabbi Shimon. And we're assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that even though ain Isr chal Isr, by when it comes to Isr Basachas, then Isr will be chal Isr. That we learned in yesterday's daf, that Rabbi Shimon is moda by Isr Basachas, that you're going to say Isr chal Isr. And Tosus points out, and then you don't have to lock yourself into Rabbi Eliezer about Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah. You could even be going like Rabbi Yeshua as far as Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah is concerned, because Rabbi Shimon holds that Rabbi Yeshua only passes the Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah if Lubasov as a mitzvah. But if you're not as a mitzvah Lubasov, then Rabbi Yeshua would be Mechayev you. Unlike Rabbi Meir's understanding of the machlokas about Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah, where a Meir understands that if you're osa mitzvah in the end, then everyone holds your pater, and the whole machlokas is only if you're eino osa mitzvah. No, in that sugya Masech Shabbos, once we can say we're holding like Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says that the whole machlokas is only if you're osa mitzvah. When you're eino osa mitzvah, then everyone holds you're going to be chayiv. So bish lamakulhu, I understand the Yisraveshus Ish and the Yisraveshus Ach, you could have them all chal b'basachas. How do you have such a case that she becomes your wife's sister, your brother's wife, and an eshes ish all at the same time? That's easy. Shavinu shliach, both brothers make the same guy a shliach to be mekadesh wives for them. V'shavu inhu shliach, and both sisters make a shliach to be mekabel kiddushin for them. Upaga shliach b'shliach, and the shliach of the brothers meets the shliach of the sisters, and they give the kiddushin of both brothers to the shliach of both sisters. So it turns out that both sisters are niskadish to both brothers mamish at the same time. So there's your Isser Eshes Ish, the Isser Eshes Ach, and the Isser of Achos Isha, all happening bebasachas. El Anido Seichim Mishkachso. But how do they pull off becoming Anida pumped at that moment of Kiddushin also? Right? How can you ever even measure such a thing? That they dafka become Anida right then at that moment. Because that it's all going to be chal at the same time. Because in Manav Shachif, they became Anida before the Kiddushin. So the Yisra Anida came first before the other Yisra. And it became Anida after the Kiddushin. So then all those other Yisra came before the Yisra Anida. So Amar Rav, Amar Rav. No, the Mishnah said that that our Mishnah, which assumes that all the Yisurim are Chal, including the Yisur Nida, is Bishofos mitok shlosha asar lachar shlosha asar lechiyuvi in hu, or mitok shneim asar lachar shneim asar lechiyuvi in hi. The case is that all of these young men, both of these brothers, have the same birthday. Not so surprising if they can be confused for each other, right? So both brothers have the same birthday. They're identical twins. Both sisters are exactly, or they also have the same birthday as the brothers, but 1 year later. They're exactly 1 year younger, and they're also identical twins, right? Let's say. So you have two brothers who are twins, two sisters who are twins. It makes it easier to assume they're identical. That's how they ended up with the wrong woman, right? And they each go home with the wrong woman. What day do they go home with the wrong woman? On the day of their bar and bas mitzvah, the day that all of them are becoming a bar and bas mitzvah. And the bleeding of the women starts right before the bar and bas mitzvah, and they continue to bleed into that day of the bar and bas mitzvah. So at the moment that the boys become a bar mitzvah and the girls become a bas mitzvah, the kiddushin is chal. The shliach did a ma'isa kiddushin beforehand, but now the kiddushin is going to be chal. And the kiddushin being, or they did a ma'aseh kiddushin beforehand, so the kiddushin is going to be chal, and the yisur nida is chal all at the same time. That's how Rashi understands our sugya, that it must be that they did a ma'aseh kiddushin in advance, and the kiddushin is going to be chal right when they become bar and bas mitzvah, which means that the yisur eshes ish, the eshes ach, and achos ish is going to be chal at that moment. And since the women are bleeding at that time, they're also going to be subject to nida at that time. That's Rashi. Tosos and the other Rishonim have a really hard time with this Rashi. They say, how could it be that a katan is going to give kiddushin before, while he's still a katan, that's going to be chal when he becomes a gadol? Ein ma'isa katan klum. A katan can't do that. It doesn't work. A katan gives kiddushin to a woman, even if he's saying al menas that it's going to be chal when I become a gadol. It doesn't work. And plus it's a davar shelo b'liolam. So Tosfos is a different girsa, and the other Rishonim also. They have a girsa that b'shofos mitoch gimel la'achar gimel l'chiyuvi inhu. That they were niskadesh before the girls were 3 years old. So all the Isurei Bia are in Chal on them, meaning the Kiddushin could be Chal on a very little girl. The Kiddushin could be Chal on a one-day-old if you're Mekadesh, if the father gives the girl over for Kiddushin. But none of the Isurei Bia are Chal because she's not a Bas Bia until she becomes 3 years old. So on the day that she becomes 3 years old, all of the Isurei Bia are going to be Chal, and she becomes a Nida on that same day. So that's how that's the case, the way Tosfos and the other Rishonim understand we're setting up over here. Now, we said in the Mishnah that after these young men have this Bia with the incorrect woman, they brought home the wrong woman, so mafrishin osan, so they separate them from their husbands for 3 months in order to make sure that they didn't become pregnant from that from the first bia, because we're going to have to know who the real father is if they are pregnant. But wait a second, the Gemara says a woman can't become pregnant from the very first bia that she ever has. So no, the case is that they didn't just have one bia, they had repeated bia, and that's why there's a concern that she becomes pregnant. But wait, Rabbi Chiya taught us that in the case of our Mishnah, there are 16 karbanos chatos that you're going to have to bring, because each of these four people is in violation of 4 isurim. So it's a total of 16 chatos. But wait a second, but if they had multiple bios, then tfasim v'tartin havyim. If each of them had 2 bios, they should be chayiv. Each person should be chayiv 4 chatos for each bia, which means that each of these 4 people should really be chayiv 8 chatos, which means it should have been a total of 32 chatos, not a total of 16 chatos. Ulitaimech says, "Yeah, but if you're going to say like that, the Rabbi Meir de mechayiv al kol koach v'koach tuva havyim. That according to Rabbi Eliezer, de mechayiv al kol koach v'koach tuva havyim. That Rabbi Eliezer holds, just like Rabbi Eliezer holds, you chayiv chatos in each and every bia, so too he holds you chayiv chatos in each and every koach within the bia, each movement within the bia, because each koach is its own hana'a. So even if you're going to say that they only had one bia, it's still going to be more than 16 chata'os. Elod b'koach rishon kachashiv, hachanami bia rishon kachashiv. We're only counting toward the list of chata'os, the chata'os that you bring for the koach rishon. So too, we're only counting toward the list of chata'os, the chata'os you bring for the bia rishon of b'nei nachanami. It has to be a case of multiple bias, because there's no other way that there could be a concern of pregnancy. If it was only one bia, there would be zero concern of her being pregnant, because a woman can't become pregnant from the bia rishona. So the Gemara is now going to question that biological statement, that a woman cannot become pregnant from the Bia Rishona. So Amalei Rava Rav Nachman. Rava says from Nachman, Vahatamar be Bia Rishona Yabra. Tamar in the Torah, she was the wife of Er, the son of Yehuda, and he died, and Onan was Miyabim her, and he died, and she, her first Bia was with Yehuda when she was a Basula, when she slept with Yehuda, and she became pregnant from that, because Er and Onan, we're going to soon see, were Meshami Shalom Kedarkan. They didn't do a Bia with her in the normal way. And so you see that that even though she was still a Basula when she had Bia with Yehuda, she became pregnant from that. Samalei Tamar Be'etzba Ma'acha. Now she manually removed her Basulim prior to having Bia with Yehuda. The assumption is the Bia that removes the Basulim cannot make a woman pregnant. But if a woman has manually removed her Basula, right, a woman could go to a doctor and there's a procedure that he could do to take out the Basulim. So if she had that done, then she's not going to become, then she can become pregnant from the first Bia. Damar Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak pointed out that Kol Mo'acha Shel Beis Rebbe, all of these women who manually removed their Basulim in the Beis Rebbe, Tamar Shman, they all call them Tamar. V'lamanikrat Shman Tamar, Al Shem Tamar, Shema'acha Be'atzba. They all name her. That's like a nickname that they have for them, that they're all called Tamar, because they're doing a Maisa Tamar. They're doing exactly what Tamar did. Why would they do this in the Beis Rebbe? Like, this was sounds like it was common practice, that all the women from the Beis Rebbe, they're all called Tamar, because this is what they do. They all remove the Basulim. So the Ritva says that they did it l'shem shemayim because they wanted to be mekim zera l'mibaleh, and they wanted to right away become pregnant because they were kosher and they were from mishpachas ksherim kadoshim, so they wanted to become pregnant right away in order to have as many children as possible, and that's why they did this in preparation of being able to have children. The Meiri says they wanted to be able to become pregnant right away so that their husbands could go right back to yeshiva to learn, and the husbands would travel out of town and go to yeshiva to learn, and they can come back 9 months later to say Mazel Tov. Others say that Rabbi Yaakov Ebden says they did it to save their husbands from the Yisra of Hotzah Zer Levatala, that their husbands are going to be having Bia with them, knowing that there's no chance of it of becoming pregnant from that, so it might be a violation of Zer Levatala. We don't assume that that's actually a violation of Zer Levatala, but maybe that was an extra chumrah in the area of Zer Levatala. Rabbi Yaakov Ebden is just bothered that Tainus Basulim now goes away, and only that, a husband might suspect his wife now that when she's not a Basula, that she's just covering for herself by saying that she manually removed the Basulim, and he might suspect that she was Mizana. So he says it must be that their practice was that they would manually remove the Basulim in front of their husbands and show their husbands that they're causing themselves to bleed by removing the Basulim. Okay, something like that. But the bottom line is the Gemara is still sticking with the assumption that when a Basula has a Bia Rishona, she cannot become pregnant. So frankly, Gemara, but wait, why are you assuming Tamar was a Basula? Vahavu Erva Onan. She had Bia with both Er and Onan. So Erva Onan, Shimshu Shalo Kedarkan. Now, Er and Onan didn't have a proper Bia. They only did Tashmish Shalo Kedarka. So so the Gemara says, is that true that Erva Onan only had Tashmish Shalo Kedarka? We have a Brisa that tells us that when a woman is nursing, Kol Esim Varba Chodesh, for the 24 months after the baby is born, where the baby really needs to nurse in order to grow and thrive and and be healthy. So the husband shouldn't be boel his wife in the normal way, because you have to be choshesh that she might become pregnant within those 24 months. Once she becomes pregnant, she'll lose her milk, she won't be able to nurse, and it's going to be a sakana to the baby. So what should you do instead? Dashmi bifnim v'zorimi bachutz. In the first 24 months after the baby is born, he should be dashmi bifnim. He should have regular tashmish, but when it comes time for hotzah zera, he should be motzi the zera outside of the woman's body. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. So Amru lo, the Chum said, what? Halal wait a minute, k'maisa erva onan. That's terrible. That's doing what erva onan did. To be dashmi bifnim v'zorimi bachutz. To be mashcha zera like that. To be punished with that's punished with death. Look what happened to Erev Onan. But what you see from that question is that Erev Onan were not Meshami Shalo Kedarka. That would be a Kedarka. They were just Dash Mibifnim Vizar Mibachut. So why are we assuming that Erev Onan were Meshami Shalo Kedarka? That's not what it says. Not that they were Meshami Shalo Kedarka. They were dashmi b'fnim v'zor mi b'chutz. So says Gemara, k'maisa erva onan v'lo k'maisa erva onan. What we're saying is that one should do like erva onan, but not exactly like erva onan. K'maisa erva onan, in that to be mashkes the zera, d'chsiv, because by onan, it says, when he was ba'al tamar, it says, v'haya im ba'al esh asach v'shiches arza. So you see that he was shofech the zera outside of her body. So in that sense, it's someone who's dash mi b'fnim v'zor mi b'chutz is similar to erva onan, but v'lo k'maisa erva onan. But what we're describing a person should do in the first 24 months of their baby's life is not like erva onan di'ilu hasam shelo kedarka, because erva onan were mishami shelo kedarka v'acha kedarka. What we're suggesting a person does in the first 24 months of the baby's life should be a bia kedarka. Just to be a kedarka, where he's motzi zera outside of her body, and that was Rabbi Eliezer's suggestion. He was not suggesting that you should do exactly like erva onan, because erva onan didn't even have a bia kedarka. He was suggesting you do a little different than erva onan, but at least make sure that the wife doesn't become pregnant. And that the chachamim criticized, and the chachamim say, how can you do that? That's otsa zera levatala. You're not allowed to do that. The Tosos brings a raya from here that it's also to be Mishamish Shelo Kedarka, that and Tosos asks on it from a number of Rayos and Shas where it seems that it's mutter to be Mishamish Shelo Kedarka. So Tosos has two different resolutions to this. Either you have to say that it's the kind of thing that you're not supposed to do regularly, but by Akrai it's mutter to be Mishamish Shelo Kedarka on a once in a while basis, or it's only mutter in a way that you're not Motzi Zera. But if one could be Mishamish Shelo Kedarka as long as they're not Motzi Zera, but if they're Motzi Zera, then it's going to be aser to be mishamish lo kedarka. So now, from the Chacham saying halolu k'maisa erva onan, we see that Aaron and Onan were both shofech zera outside of Tamar's body. So says Mar Bishlam Onan, I understand very well Onan why he did that. Dichsev bebeshiches art. So it says that he was mashkes his zera ela er minolan. What's the source that Er did so? So Rav Nachman Reisach dichsev vayomos gam oso. The pasuk says by Onan that gam oso, that he also died. Afu bosam isemes, and that tells you that he violated a similar Avera to what his brother violated. They both died for the same reason. So since Onan died because he was Mashchazaro, so Er must have also died because he was Mashchazaro. So you see that they were both Shofech Zaram Mibachutz. So says Gemara, Bishlama Onan, I understand Onan, what Onan's motivation was, why he didn't want Tamar to become pregnant, Mishum Lo Lo Yiazara, because it wasn't going to be his child anyway. It was going to be called Al Shem Er, his deceased brother. So Ela Er, my time, but why didn't Er want Tamar to become pregnant? What was his problem? I mean, he would have been his child, so what would be the problem for him? So Kadesh Lot Saber V'yachish Yafya, he didn't want her to become pregnant because he thought it would ruin her beauty. And that was his Kavana, and that's why he was punished so terribly. Melo Rome raises the question, that makes sense for all the other Bios. Why didn't he at least have a Bia Rishona? If we're assuming that a woman cannot become pregnant from a Bia Rishona, didn't he know that? He wasn't going to ruin her beauty with a Bia Rishona, so why didn't he just at least have a Bia Rishona? So the Melo Rome answers based on the Nadiv Yudah. Nadiv Yudah says, this cloud that a woman does not become pregnant from Bia Rishona is not a ironclad rule. It's most of the time. Most of the time, a woman does not become pregnant from Bia Rishona. Much harder to get a woman pregnant in a Bia Rishona, but it does happen sometimes, and he didn't want to take that risk. So that's why he was punished, because he didn't want to ruin her beauty. That was his kavana. Tanu Rabbanan. Now, the Pasuk says in the Torah that Osa, the Pasuk describes that a couple has a Bia, the Isha Asher Yishkav Ish Osa, a woman who a man lies with her, Shichva Zera, and then Verachatu B'mayim, she has to go to the mikvah, V'tamu Ad Ha'erev, and she's Tamei Ad Ha'erev. So we darshan osa prat lekala. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda says a kala with the bia rishona does not become tamei from that bia. The Chum on prat leshalokadarka. The Chum say yes, she does. It's only when a woman has bia shalokadarka that she doesn't become tamei from that bia. So Amar le Hon Bered Rav Nachman. Hon is the name of a chacham. It's an unusual name. So Hon, the son of Rav Nachman, said to Rav Nachman, lema kasav Rabbi Yehuda. It must be that Rabbi Yehuda holds by saying that a kala does not become tamei from that first bia that he holds a Torah chasal tachshite kala, that the Torah is having rachmanas on the tachshitim of a kala. You know how much the makeup lady costs on the day of the wedding. So if we're going to say she becomes tamei from that bia rishona, that means she's going to have to go to the mitzvah right after that. It's going to ruin all the makeup. Why did she just spend all that money on the makeup lady? That's what it is, literally. That's what the Gemara is saying. So the rishonim are struggle with what's the problem with going to the mikveh with the makeup. So some of the rishonim suggest it's going to ruin the makeup. You go to the mikveh, the water is going to ruin the makeup. Others say no, it's going to be a chatzitza. She has to remove the makeup before she goes to the mikveh because it's going to be a chatzitza. The reason to say it's not a chatzitza is because it says hatorah chasal tachshite kala, that this sounds like a din midah oraisa. Midah oraisa, the only thing that's a chatzitza is something that's a rov umakpid. It has to be rubo umakpid. So makeup typically is not on the rov of the body, nor is it something she's makpid about. She doesn't mind having the makeup on. He says, no, that's not the reason. The reason is because a woman doesn't become pregnant from the bia rishona. And the only bia that will make a woman tamei is a bia that can make a woman pregnant. So since she can't become pregnant from the bia rishona, mele the bia rishona is also not going to make her tamei. What's the nekudas hamachlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether a woman becomes tamei from the bia rishona? Rabbanan savri, the Rabbanan hold that she does become tamei from the bia rishona, darshan the pasuk as follows: shichva zera prat lahara'a, that it has to be a real full bia to make her tamei, not just a tchilas bia. And osa prat l'shalokadarka, and osa tells me that bia shalokadarka is not going to make her tamei, but there's no drasha to tell me that bia rishona is not going to make her tamei. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda savar shaloka darka v'ara'a mishich v'zara, we learn both of those dinim of shaloka darka not making her tamei and tchilas bia not making her tamei from the phrase shich v'zara mishich v'zara nafka osa prat lekala. The word osa is coming to tell me that a first bia also doesn't make her tamei. So kiyasa Rav and Amar Rabbi Yochanan, when Rav came from Bavel Teretz Yisrael, he was reporting in the name of Rabbi Yochanan kol shashasa achar baila. Esar Shanim, anyone who remains an almana after her husband dies, and she remains an almana for 10 years, v'niseis, and then afterwards she gets married, shuvei en yoledah, she won't be able to have any more children. Amar Rav Nachman lo shanu ella she'en daita li nasi. That's only if she had no plans of getting married. Aval daita li nasi misaberes. But if she does have plans of getting married, then she can become pregnant. So Amar le Rav Basra v'chista, Rav said to his wife Basra v'chista, kamarani rabbanan abasrich. The rabban are being multi-laws on you, because you were an almana for more than 10 years by the time I married you, and you did become pregnant. So it must be that you must have had bia with someone else in between, or something like that. So I'm relayed. So she said, no, I had my eyes on you the whole time. I was planning on marrying you the whole time. So if you're planning on getting remarried in those 10 years in between, so then you can become pregnant. Tulsa says this was she wasn't just Stam saying this. There's a mice in Babasra, Dafyud Beis, in the first part of Babasra, that when she was a katana, she was sitting on her father's lap, and Rava and Rami Bar Chama were the two talmidim were her father's two talmidim that were learning by him. So her father said, "Which one of these bachrim do you want to marry one day?" And she said, "I want both of them." So Rava said, "Vani sheni, I'll be the second one, because in order to get both of them, obviously something has to not work out with the first." So he said, "Let me go second." So she was mitzapa that the nevuah would be miskayim. So the whole time she assumed that that was going to happen. There was a woman that came to Rav Yosef Amrlo, Rebbe. I was an almana for 10 years, and then I got remarried and I gave birth, and I wasn't didn't do any didn't have beer with anyone in between. So Rav Yosef said, "Biti, she said, "Stop lying. You know the chacham don't. When the chacham says something, you know that it's true. So obviously you're not confessing to something." So Amalei said, "You're right. L'nachri nivalti. I had beer with a nachri, and the divrei chachamim." The Divrei Chacham are in fact correct. So Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Amar Shmuel tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Oh, yeah.